Okay, I hope everyone can hear me. Let me make some adjustments here. This is Lisa Minini with Accelerate Associates. Welcome to the Success Circle. We're going to get started because it's, getting started right on time. I know your time is valuable as well. So thank you so much for being here. I want to welcome new members to the Success Circle and, of course, welcome back existing members to today's high content call. If you get your pen and paper ready, I'm going to give you some upcoming events that you'll be interested in putting in your calendar. May 25th, which is a Tuesday, 2010, at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, we have the Q&A call. And the Q&A call is part of your Success Circle benefits. Remember, if you have any questions related to your business, related to this high content call you're going to hear about today, write those questions down and submit those questions to get them answered on this Q&A call. If you are available on May 25th, I'm going to invite you to come back and ask your question on the Q&A call if you can make it live. If not, we can still submit your question and you can listen to it in the audio library. So please feel free to use your benefits. That's what they're here for. That's what I'm here for, is to help you with your business. So any questions that you have, submit those to info@accelerateassociates.com. June 8th, 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, is your next high content call. We're going to talk about mesmerizing marketing. And for those of you that attended the three-day Entrepreneurial Edge System, three-day intensive, we talked about the mesmerizing marketing, how to set it up. But there's specific ways to set up your marketing, whether it's a sales page, whether it's giving away a free product, an opt-in page, and you'll want to be on that call. Again, that's your next high-content call, which is June 8th at 4:30. Today, we're going to discuss how you structure your business model and make a profit from workshops, teleseminars, and other events. And I'm going to talk about systems in your business as well, because it's about the system of a business model. And you're not going to look at your next event that you have the same again after this high content call. Because what happens is, and I've seen this time and time again, and I did it too, that You know, we take a haphazard approach to implementing the business model. And for solopreneurs, you get so busy planning one event, you forget about some profit systems behind those events, before and after those events. So we're going to look at your whole business and other ways to monetize your business model further. So you're going to get some ideas from this call. We're going to talk about the most important elements you need to think about when you execute your business model. We're going to talk about the five top revenue generating ways to bring in income from just one event, but that what most entrepreneurs often forget about. And we're going to cover what systems you're missing that will bring in more profit more quickly and provide more value to your clients and your customers. So we're going to go pretty fast and furious today because I have a lot of content. So I hope you're in a position to take notes today and you have your notebook in front of you. I've also invited Terry Coker, who is CEO of Entrepreneur Authority, to also chime in, and he's waiting anxiously for his point as we talk about different business model. He's going to talk about the franchise model, and we're going to briefly bring him in to talk about that because I think it's important as you build your business. Some of you may be thinking about, gee, I want my business, I want to eventually build it into a franchise. And we're going to talk about some things to think about now as you build your business and what you might want to think about if that's the course that you're thinking about. And I need to apologize. I have a bit of a cold right now I'm getting rid of, so I just need to take a little bit of water here. Some of the important elements to think about when you execute your business model is the type of business model that you have. Now, a business model describes the rationale of how your business, number one, creates, two, delivers, and three, captures value. So a business model describes the rationale of how your business creates, delivers, and captures value. And there's different types of business models that I want to cover today that may give you some ideas of how to adjust your business model, perhaps even include some of these other business models and incorporate into your own business model. The first one a lot of people are familiar with, which is the auction business model. Now, an auction, you know, most people know about eBay. it's the process of buying and selling goods or services by offering them up for bid. You take bids and then you sell the item to the highest bidder. The second one is something called bricks and clicks business model. The bricks and clicks is a business model where a company integrates both offline and online presences. So, for example, and it's also known as a click and mortar or click and bricks. You know, we've heard of the expression bricks and mortar. Well, that's the physical presence or the offline presence. Online would be more of the clicks. And then still there's others that are bricks, clicks, and flips. That's a new business model that's coming up. An example of that is when a chain of stores maybe allows a user to order products online and picks up their order at a local store. Okay, so that's becoming more popular. Or say conversely, a furniture store. They'll have displays at a local store, and the customer orders an item electronically for delivery to their home. Okay, so that's what's called bricks, clicks, and flips. And and the reason I'm going through some of these business models is these might give you an idea of how to readjust your business model. And we've got a variety of people in the success circle, so I'm going to go through these. The next one is more of a collective business model. And what I mean by that is sometimes a certain large number of businesses, like tradespersons or professionals in the same or related field, will pull their resources, share information, and become members of like a trade association or a cooperative or even a franchise. And sometimes when you have these collective business models, you're leveraging a lot of the marketing that happens, or leveraging the resources, or maybe the buying power from becoming a member. And while we're on franchise, I'm going to invite Terry Coker to come online and talk to us about the franchise model. Because, you know, there's different revenue streams coming from the franchise model that I also want to talk about. And, Terry, are you on the line?
I am, Lisa. Thanks for asking me to be on the call today.
Great. Thank you for being here and sharing your expertise with the Success Circle members. Tell us a little bit about the franchise model from the perspective of, you know, the franchise and the franchisee and the revenue streams.
Systems.
And we know all about systematizing and monetizing, don't we, Terry?
Well, we sure do. Anything else you want me to talk about today? I was very lucky in my franchise career. Over my career, I've started 7 or 8 different businesses and had always wanted to be in franchising. And a friend of mine owns a franchise company in Ann Arbor, and at an opportune time invited me to join. And so I was able to start my franchise career at a world-class franchisor in Ann Arbor that owns 4 or 5 franchise companies. And they literally had a system for everything. A process of investigation usually concludes with what's called a discovery day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where somebody looks looking to buy a franchise visits the home office of the franchisor and makes, you know, their decision within a reasonable amount of time mm-hmm. around that. And I was just stunned when I got there and they started to train me about how I was to act and what I was to say and how I was to present on a single day mm-hmm. called Discovery Day. I mean, we would meet people at a restaurant the night before that had just flown in, and, you know, we talked about, you know, certain things and didn't talk about other things. You know, we had gift bags for them. We made sure that they were comfortable in their hotel room. We met them the next morning for breakfast with mm-hmm. the company president, and on and on and on and on and on. And the company would have meetings and memos and outlines and training manuals on a single day.
Mm-hmm.
And that was duplicated throughout the rest of the company.
Mm-hmm.
So there just wasn't something that happened within that particular brand that didn't have a system attached to it.
Mm-hmm. So when a person is, okay, I want to do this from two perspectives. When a person is buying a franchise, they're buying into those systems that have already been created. Now, there's entrepreneurs that are also looking at building their business model and eventually getting into a franchise and building it to be a franchise. So, so it's important from what I'm hearing you say is that they think about not only, they really think about, not only the brand, but also about the systems, because that's eventually what people are buying into and why they would pay you, a franchisor, a fee to be a part of that system.
Well, that's correct. And essentially, the brand then becomes the system. The system supports the brand. So that if you're cleaning houses in a residential maid service, you know that the person that's coming into your home to give you an estimate does it in a certain fashion and represents themselves in a certain way. And that happens in San Antonio and San Jose and Kansas mm-hmm. City in the same fashion. And so that you know when that person shows up and the brand's represented, that the system comes through that.
Mm-hmm.
So solo entrepreneurs who are out there, you know, should create very, very simple systems in the beginning and then only make those systems more complex as is required, i.e., answer the phone in a consistent way every single time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, distinguish yourself among your competitors in your category by the way that you answer your phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by the voice message that you leave, by the communication systems that you have in place. Can someone get a hold of you on your cell phone when they need to? Can they find your content on Twitter?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a Facebook fan page, you know, that represents and pushes information out to people? I.e., all of that is your communications system. And people, you know, these days certainly need different ways to touch you.
Mm-hmm.
So a solopreneur might say, well, geez, you know, I answer the phone myself. You know, I don't need, mm-hmm. you know, an answering system. I don't need a script.
Right.
I don't need blah, 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 like major corporations have. And I would say you don't need it to the extent that they do, but you certainly need it, number one, for yourself. And then most importantly, as your business grows and you look someday towards franchising, you need those systems in place so that training becomes a large part of what you do as a mm-hmm. franchisor. And franchisors have training systems, they have support systems, they have sales systems,
mm-hmm.
they have marketing systems, they have brand systems, and they have accounting systems.
Mm-hmm. Now, Terry, what is your phone number in case people want to get a hold of you should they want to, you know, change their business model into more of a franchise model?
You can reach me in Canton at 734-459-4121.
Wonderful.
459-4121, 8A to 6P, Eastern Standard.
Eastern Standard, okay, great. So I just wanted to go over that real briefly and give them an idea of what they need to really think about is if that is the type of business model they're working towards. So I appreciate your sharing your information and knowledge today, Terry. Thank you so much.
Glad that I could be of help, Lisa. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Terry. Now, that was Terry Coker and from the Entrepreneur Authority. And, you know, having a franchise business model is one of those options. Direct sales model is also an option where people take their wares, if you will, directly to a consumer. Sometimes people refer to it as demonstrations or parties, and these are direct sales models that are executed in their business model. You can have something new that's out is called a freemium business model, and it's free, freemium, freemium business model. What it is it's basically offering basic web services or basic downloadable digital product for free and charging a premium for advanced or special features. And so things, for example, like one shopping cart, Kickstart cart, you know, those are types of systems that you can tap into, software systems that you have shopping carts on your websites, and they charge, four different packages. I don't think that they have a free service. I'm trying to think if they have a free portion of that. But some companies... you'll see offer a free service. Like, for example, dimdim.com. Actually, that is more of a professional open source business model where they have a free software, and then you pay for professional services. But dimdim.com, which is a webinar-based, you can use webinars. So if you have webinars as part of your business, you can host, I think, up to 20 people on a webinar for free. And it's based on an open-source model. But it's also a freemium-based model in that they offer some level of service at free, and then if you want more comprehensive services, you would upgrade. And so those are some different options. Multi-level marketing business model. Now, multi-level marketing has really gotten a bad rap, I think, over the years, because people associated pyramid selling, which is you create a pyramid and there's no product or service, though. And so that's fraudulent. But most multi-level marketing and direct selling or network marketing are very legitimate, and it's around independent business owners that are tapping into the system, and they're selling the products or services. A good example of that is something like a service type of network marketing is like prepaid legal. You tap into services of prepaid legal, and you can get expert attorney advice for just, a fee each month. Quickstar or Amway is an example of a multi-level marketing business model, and they offer different products, but they also have independent business owners that sell those products. And I want you to think as we go through some of these business models, how they might apply to your business model and bringing in perhaps additional income by restructuring your business model. Now, there's a business model that's called premium business model. Now, a premium business model is a concept of offering high-end products and services. So, for example, a high-end product might be something like BMW, Mercedes-Benz, and it really appeals to a certain type of consumer. And the business model, though, depends mostly on higher profit margin and lower sales. Versus what's more popular now with the down economy is more sales for lower priced products. So that is something that really needs to be carefully considered if you're thinking about implementing a premium business model to your existing business model. We went over open source business model as well as a subscription business model. Now, subscription business models is where a customer pays a subscription price to have access to products and services. Now, there can be actually a variety of ways to execute this. For example, it could be a membership site. A membership site provides, it's also a account annuity program, which we'll talk about later. But a subscription business model could be a magazine. It could also be access to a membership site. But I've seen subscription type of programs even through product-based companies. An interesting type of example is a fine jewelry maker had put in a membership to his preferred clients or customers, and they actually paid in per year, I think, a certain amount. It wasn't very expensive. It was like $30 a year, rather. So for $30 a year, they became a preferred customer. Now, what it did for the entrepreneur is it gave them an additional income stream, $30, but what it gave the customer, the value that it provided the customer, was that the customer would get, as a value-added customer, a deeper discount on the products, on the fine jewelry. So, and if you think about it, you know, think about all the events that you go to, the graduations, the weddings, and think about how much jewelry you could purchase and if you got a deeper discount just by becoming a member, a subscription member, if you will. So that is another business model that can bring in additional income but provide more value to customers. So something to think about in how you might be able to implement that for your companies. But before you implement your business model, it's important that you think about several elements. And by those several elements, I'm going to go through about four of them for you to really think about as you think about your business model. Element number one is clearly defining how you're going to organize your business model. Clearly defining how you're going to organize your business model, because you can have a combination in your business model, including subscriptions and products and services. But it's important for you to understand and draw out what that business model looks like. And a lot of times people say, well, yeah, we have this in our business model, or we have this line of business, but it's not drawn out. It doesn't have a specific strategy to it. So if you have a subscription, what are you doing with it? What's your strategy? How do people know about it? Okay, so it's important to really draw out what that business model looks like. Number two, and I know, Terry, I know that you have your business model clearly drawn out for yourself.
Out and sitting right here.
That's great, thanks. And it's important because it provides more clarity. And, you know, actually, Terry, why don't you come back on? What has it done for you to have your business model written in front of you?
It's given me a lot of clarity around the vision that I have, mm-hmm. and I can see where all the various parts of my business model fit in. Mm-hmm. I actually, you know, did this over the course of the 3 days that I was in your intensive, and as I left and looked to add to it and say what's missing, you know, it seemed pretty comprehensive. So what I did is I took one of the worksheets, your business blueprint shortcut, mm-hmm. and I ran up to Kinko's and took my vision on one side and the business blueprint shortcut on the other and laminated it together. So
it
serves as, you know, a working document that stays on my desktop. And then when I, you know, when I say, okay, now where does Twitter fit into this plan? I know exactly where it fits.
Oh, fantastic. Good.
Yep. So that's how it's worked for me. It's brought my vision into clarity, into focus, you know, into a working document.
Fantastic. And that's what all the, thanks so much for sharing that, Terry. And that's what all the tools are there for. The business blueprint that Terry's referring to is in the Entrepreneurial Edge BizBoost self-study program, which we're launching in June. And it's important to have that visual for those very reasons. The second element as you execute your business model is to clearly identify your preferred client or your niche. And again, filling out that preferred client profile is so important because you've got to know who the people that you're targeting. So regardless of if you're a product company or if you're a consultant or coach, it's important because you want to look at the value that you're creating, what you're delivering, when you're delivering it. And that's all part of your business model, and so that your customers know exactly, okay, what value do I have here? And you can be in constant contact, too, with your clients when you know precisely and exactly who they are. So element number two is clearly identify your preferred client or your niche. Number three element is define how you're creating, delivering, and capturing value for the customer and for you. So as you look at your business model, it's important for you to identify how you could even provide more value. And if you don't know, sometimes it's important to ask, not sometimes, it is important to ask your customers how you can ask them. It could be as simple as including a postcard in their next order. Maybe if they return the postcard, you can get a percentage off of their next order if you're a product-based company. Maybe it's, you know, for consultants, it might be asking them to complete a survey. Make sure you don't make it too long about the value that they're providing or what they need to see from you. Again, having that constant feedback about how you're creating, delivering, and capturing value is going to be important to what you offer in the future and how maybe you need to change your business model. The fourth element is to keep up with the times. I want to share a story, and I'm going to probably date myself at this point, but at the risk of dating myself, when I was a very young girl, I remember hearing the bell, a little bell being rung down the street, and eventually what I would see is this older gentleman coming down with his little cart, and he's ringing his bell, which was a signal to people to that he was there to sharpen their knives and sharpen their scissors. He was a scissor sharpener. Now, his business model had virtually no leverage, and over time went away. Why did it go away? Well, scissors became a commodity, and with different materials, it became easier to throw them away than it was to sharpen them. If you've ever seen a very old pair of scissors, they're made very sturdy, so you definitely didn't want to throw them away. Comparatively speaking to scissors nowadays, which look more disposable, so there's not many people that, you know, they just get a new pair of scissors, right? Unfortunately. But then again, you have the knife sharpeners that came, and of course, his business model of going up and down the streets ringing that bell is a little outdated. So while you want to claim a niche, while you want to be very focused in your business model, you also want to keep an eye on the big picture because changes are happening in the marketplace, and especially now, they're happening at a really rapid place, pace, and people's buying habits are changing. So you really want to keep an eye on the big picture. And this is why so many consultants and coaches were struggling because they had these really big ticket items, these really big ticket services, and they created these high-end consulting services that created this, yes, I'll work with you or no, I don't, and I'll go. So this yes and no and go option. And so people weren't buying, they were constricting, and so the marketplace and all their clients dried up for them. And so they had to adjust and look at more leveraged business models and work maybe instead of, you know, one-to-one with their clients, they worked one-to-many so they could affect many more people. And they had to develop passive and leveraged income streams, maybe through developing different products. So as you look at your business model, look at that fourth element of keeping up with the times. Because leverage, too, is really important. And I want to also talk about leverage in terms of ways to bring in income for your business. Now, for some reason, it seems like a really closely regarded secret in how to fill a room and draw in multiple revenue streams. But I'm going to pull back the curtain today, and I'm going to share it with you, because so many entrepreneurs who do have events or that want to have events for their business really get stuck on planning that one event, and they forget about looking at it as a system, not only how it pertains to their business model, but how that event pertains to all their events that they do. Okay, and I'm going to share with you what those different revenue streams are that also create incredible value to your clients or your customers. So there are multiple ways to bring in income from just one event. And let's go through those. The first one is called general ticket sales. Number one is general ticket sales. And general ticket sales is when people attend the workshop and they essentially purchase tickets to it. And it's really advantageous as you're marketing it to offer, say, an early bird special. So for those people that are ready to take action in the marketing of your event, it's a nice way to entice people to say, you know, if you sign up before this, or you sign up, you know, before the end of this event, you know, you get an extra X percentage off. And again, this entices people and adds value, because you've just said, look, I'm going to give you a break if you want to attend this event. So, but one thing I think that people also forget about is when looking at an event is, how can you get people and draw people to that event by some of the other events that you have? So, for example, let's say you're having a really big event and you want people to obviously attend this event. You can also host a teleseminar that offers, it could be a free teleseminar. Some people offer a paid teleseminar. And maybe if it's a free teleseminar, at the very end, you maybe give them a product, okay? Or no, you don't give it to them, but you say this product is available. And when you buy this product today, I'm also going to give you a free ticket to this upcoming workshop you have. So now, this is another way to get people into your workshop, by offering free tickets to them if they purchase another product. Okay? At an earlier date, at an earlier event that you have. Now, again, this is getting more people into that big event that you want to have. And this is, you know, a little separate from general ticket sales, but the premise is the same. And it can help you fill your event. So, and you're also bringing in income. So again, how that would work is you would have a teleseminar. On your teleseminar, you would offer maybe a high-priced product, like $997, I don't know, $500, whatever that is. And if they purchase that product, then they would get or purchase a certain amount of products. Maybe if you're a product-based company, then they get access to a free event. Now, once you have people at your event, then you can add additional high-value products that they can purchase. Okay, and because in your events, you may not be able to go through all of the material at a level where they need it or that you can possibly get through in a period of time. So it's important that you add value by offering additional information to people who want it, and those are your products, and so you can have additional what's called back-of-the-room sales, which I'll go through in just a moment. Now, there's a couple of other arrangements or business models that some people have. Now, some speakers never charge an entrance fee to their events, and they use a combination of sponsors, which I'm going to also talk about today, and the kinds of sponsors, and they have a little bit different model wherein, in fact, I know a well-known speaker who doesn't charge an entrance fee or tuition for his events, but at the end of the events, participants do write their own check on what they felt the workshop was worth to them. Interesting. And he has even received checks many years later from people who could only afford a small amount when they attended his event, but as their business grew, then he generated more income and people sent him, thousands of dollars because the value that he added to their lives. Now, there's a certain, specific format for this kind of approach. You certainly need to let people know about, that there will be a point of tithing for that event, whatever you want to give. But, and he does that on his site, but that's also another option in terms of filling a room. Now, some of you might be saying, yeah, but if you have this free event and then people don't show. Still, there's others that host events that that have back-of-the-room sales and sponsors, and they don't charge a fee, an entrance fee, or tuition to attend their event. But what they do have is a cancellation fee or a no-show fee. And so if you sign up and then you don't attend, then obviously your credit card is charged. But that is a way that some speakers have gotten around people just not showing up for their events, and then, and then they have an empty room. So that is something, that's another arrangement. I've talked briefly, too, about back-of-the-room product sales. Successful speakers will often have additional products, again, that add value to your customers or your clients. And people also like to have choices. Now, when they're learning new information that you're going to provide for them, and when you're putting this all together, think about not only about the content that you'll have at your event, and some entrepreneurs make the mistake of trying to jam everything into one event. Well, you'll have opportunity to create other products at the back end that people can purchase. And sometimes people also want the option to purchase gifts for people or their business partners or whatever your business is for people that couldn't be there. So you're doing actually them a disservice by not having additional products available to them, but products that create value for them. So remember to think about that as you're creating your event. I can't get really deep into this. I can only do a surface level. So is there a product or a service that I can offer that they can sign up for later? And that kind of brings me to another point of continuity and continuous income in membership sites, but I'm going to hold off on that for right now, and I'm going to talk about continuity programs and how that all works. But these are some ways that you can bring in income from just one event. Okay, so you've got back of the room sales, you've got ticket sales, you've got, you can also include, for example, sponsors. Now, there's different types of sponsors that you can secure for your event. Now, the key is to make a list of all of your expenses that you have, and looking at people that you know that might be interested in getting their products or services to your audience. For example, many of you might be familiar with the multi-day cancer fundraising events. And so these events generally have multiple sponsors. You see them on the back of the t-shirts. You see them in the press releases. You see them in the newspaper. And so these sponsors want to get in front of generally women, if it's a breast cancer awareness, who might be interested in their products or services. So, for example, you might see, fitness franchises that are there. Why? Because these women are at a 3-day event. You know, many of them like those different walking events. And you might see, different cancer-related or products or services that are also sponsors of that event. So you need to not only think of sponsors who might be interested in getting their message to your audience, but consider also what you can give the sponsor in return, for being a sponsor. So, for example, you need to think about sponsorship packages. So you can have a different, again, creating choices, because it's about relationships, trust, and choices, even with your sponsorships. So you want to create relationships with people who may be interested in getting their products and services. So this is about having even strategic, sponsorships. And partnering with them, maybe they can help you market your event. They can also provide, what are you going to provide them? Are you going to provide them exposure in your press releases about your event? Are you going to have them be able to pass out flyers at your event? Do you have a radio or TV that you're going to also do as part of your event planning, and are they going to be on it? Advertisements, maybe they're even going to be part of a panel discussion at your event. So those are some things to really think about as you're putting your sponsorship packages together and identifying different sponsorship opportunities. Now, not only are you doing this, but let's say you have a product-based company. Think about different companies that are having these events where it would be great for you to be a sponsor and get your wares out there. So this can be actually taken from two standpoints. One, you actually putting on an event, or participating in an event. There's several kinds of sponsors. The first one is in-kind sponsor. An in-kind sponsor will give their products and services in exchange for getting in front of your audience. Again, I mentioned a panel discussion. Maybe it's logo placement. Maybe it's a display table. And then they display their wares and information at your event. So there's a lot of different ways to create sponsorship programs that'll help defray the cost of an event and help you provide more value to your attendees. Another thing that I want to mention, too, is you could even have in your sponsorship packages, for maybe the higher level packages, free tickets to your event that your sponsor could give out. How great is that? You get more people at your event. And the sponsor is paid for them because through their sponsorship. So it's kind of a nice model to replicate in getting different sponsors. Specialty sponsors. You can get different specialty sponsors are, for example, one thing that's really hot right now is a flash drive sponsor. So if you hold an event that, and this is pretty common for like trade associations or associations that have multiple speakers, they'll put all the speakers, the breakout speakers information on one flash drive, but a sponsor will sponsor that flash. They'll buy all the flash drives. They're able to put their logo on it, and so it provides a lot of value for the attendees as well. You can get specialty sponsors to sponsor maybe breakfast, a lunch, or a dinner, or maybe a dessert table, and they'll sponsor that. So there's different types of specialty sponsors that, and that too can be part of your sponsorship packages. And then, of course, you want to have, as I mentioned, strategic partners. So let's say you're first starting out, you may want to have individuals at organizations that target your target market, and you might want to invite them to your event and give them, maybe you give them one of your sponsorship tickets if your sponsor can't use them, or you invite them to audit. Because you know when they audit your program or you audit your event, they're going to go back to maybe their membership and tell them about it. Okay? So think about, as you look at hosting your events, think about some strategic partners that you can bring in to attend your event. And later on, they might even become sponsors for you, paid sponsors for you. All of this, too, I've been talking about different types of continuity just from one event. So, for example, we talked about having maybe a teleseminar, and at your teleseminar, you offer a product and or service. And then if they purchase that product or service, they maybe get into your main event for free. Maybe they, maybe not. But or maybe if they do get into the event for free, you offer other products and services. Or you even offer other services that follow that main event. And you have what's called a continuity program. And a continuity program is goes kind of on and on and on and provides you with additional income, but you provide ongoing value to people. So there's some reasons why continuity, really think about continuity for your business as you structure your business model. Because it makes really good sense. I want to go through those reasons of why you want to think continuity as you think about structuring your events and things you go to and things you participate in. Number one, you want to think about continuous cash flow. Okay, continuous cash flow. And when you think about continuity, like a membership site, for example, is continuity for consultants or coaches. It could be a membership site. It could be a program. You know, and in fact, a lot of even makeup, if you think of some of the makeup or skincare programs, you know, it's something that's going to be reusable and people are going to tie in. Think about that continuity program. You know, how often, you know, what's the user, the user rate? How much are they using the product? And especially even for supplies, you know, think about your customers and do they have an automatic way that automatically charges and ships a new shipment to them based on their usage? You know, so just in simple thinking simply about the continuity concept, okay, can really change your business model so you bring in continuous cash flow. Number two, the second reason why continuity makes sense is think about lower price point, which can mean more customers. So sometimes with people having only a high price point, it limits the amount of people that they can work with. But a lower price point, you might have more people okay? Or if you have a really high-priced item, maybe putting it into bite-sized chunks so people can purchase different elements of that program. But I see that a lot with consultants and coaches that have this, you know, high-priced program. People can't afford it, so then they tie it into segments, and it's much more profitable for them when they do it. And it's also a continuity program where people will complete a module and then go on to the next one, and complete that module and go on to the next one. So something that they create today, because of a system they built in, that program continues from module to module. And it's something that's automated, so whether it's done through video or some other automated system, it's a course that's automated, so you're creating leverage by it being automatic. The third reason why continuity makes sense for your business is it increases your efficiency. So if you're constantly working one-on-one with somebody, think about how you can produce something once and, it creates results over and over. Hang on one second, I gotta get some water here. Again, if you look at membership sites or subscribers, this is something that replicates it over and over. You put something on a membership site and it automatically gets updated, and people get brand new information all the time, so they see value, and it provides value to your customers or your clients. The fourth reason why continuity really makes sense for your business is it also provides ongoing value to your existing customers. And especially when you're continuously asking your customers, what would you like to see? What would be of value? And you deliver those products or services because of the feedback that you're getting from them. And this provides a continuous cycle, and you'll see that your clients will stay with you because you offer that continuity to them. The fifth reason why continuity kind of makes sense in thinking in a continuous way is people are willing to pay for updates, and they're willing to pay for a community if they think they belong to a community. If you just take a look at all the sites that are out there, Facebook, LinkedIn, all these other social online sites, people are generally into communities. These are communities of people. And many, for example, internet marketers belong to certain membership sites because they can really get cutting-edge information about internet marketing. And so they become members of they have exclusive memberships. And because that information is continuously updated, that membership, they're making income, right? But the value they provide to their customers is also important because they're providing ongoing cutting edge or leading edge information. So people are willing to pay for that because they want it, they need it, and they're willing to pay for it. But it's important for you as an entrepreneur, as a small business owner, to make sure that you're providing that as well. And number six, continuity programs tend to be exclusive and reoccurring payment. So it does also weed out some of your non-preferred clients. So if, that's not somebody who could afford your $10, membership site or whatever it is, if they can't afford that, they may not be your preferred client. Again, you want to think about that, and it provides some exclusivity or some targeting to your target market. And the other thing I want you to think about, too, as you look at your business model and different revenue sources and look at continuity and how you're planning your events. And one of the systems that I want you to think about that can bring you more money more quickly and provide more value to your product or to your clients and your customers is thinking about your entire business as a system. I want you to close your eyes. If you're in a place, if you're not driving and listening to the high content call, I want you to close your eyes for just a moment. And I want you to imagine that you have a 12-month calendar in front of you. A 12-month calendar in front of you. I want you to imagine for a moment all of the events on your calendar. Whether you have teleseminars, whether you have workshops, whether you're a product-based company and you have, you know, your Mother's Day just passed and you have the different events on your calendar, I want you to think about those two and how they feed into one another. Because most people will look at the teleseminars as or the one event that they're planning as just that one event. They won't think about how all their events are tied in together. Now, I want you to think about that calendar from January to December, all the events that you have going on from January. I want you to start drawing a line from month to month of all of those events and how all of the events that you have in your calendar sort of interconnect with one another. Then as you think about that, that is your system. So as you implement a teleseminar, I want you to think about how does that teleseminar affect this main event that I'm going to have in December? Or how does this teleseminar affect this upcoming workshop that I have or the speaking engagement that I have? In most cases, entrepreneurs forget to take that systems approach where they are literally linking month to month, event to event, to all their other events. But when you think about that, you think about the different products and services and value that you can provide to your clients just from taking a systems approach, just from looking at all your events and all the things that you need to do. Now, if your calendar's empty, then you got some work to do. but if not, and you have some of these other events planned, I want you to look at your calendar and say, wait a minute, how can I link in all these different events into one another? And whether that's pre-marketing or get people, you know, from one event to go to another event or a free ticket, or you're going to find you can probably massage the different ways that you're doing work now to make it more effective, to get that continuity going. And you may find you can actually add to your business model. Now, I want to remind everyone of May 25th, the Q&A call. I know I've given you a lot of information today on this high content call, so I hope you were taking notes. And remember, within about 24 hours, we generally have posted the audio to the audio library, so you can listen to that. And if you have any questions, though, May 25th, come back for the Q&A call. Submit your questions ahead of time, though, to info@accelerateassociates.com. Again, that's accelerateassociates.com. And let me know your question, and we're going to cover those on the Q&A call. And even if it pertains to your business, you know, gee, I can't see how I can do this for my business. I'm a little stuck here. You know, submit those questions, and we'll be happy to answer those for you. This is what your Success Circle benefits are all about, is we're here to help. I'm here to help you be successful. So we are all here to help you be successful. So take advantage of those benefits. And with that, I want to thank everyone. This has been the High Content Call, and I'm Lisa Menini with Accelerate Associates. And until next time, again, thanks and create a great day.
Conversation mode is on. Everyone can now be heard.